talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, currently it's 61 degrees in Elk City, 24% humidity. The winds are out of the west-southwest at 22 miles an hour with gusts up to 30, so she's a little breezy out there. I'll have our long ranger forecast later in the show, brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma. And FYI for everybody, the Clinton, at Clinton, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will not be opening up until a week from this coming Monday. Hobart Stockyards will be opening Wednesday, this next coming Wednesday. And then Friday, next Friday, a week from tomorrow, Elk City will open back up. But the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction won't be open until a week from this coming Monday. So I think it's January 10th. At the Hobart Stockyards, their monthly sheep and goat sale will not be until February. They will not have one for January. So anyway, there's your FYI. What you guys got planned for tomorrow evening? Are you going to celebrate New Year's like young folks or old folks? Let me know on the KECO Ag text line, if you will. 580-225-9697. Are you going to hang out with the dogs at the house and watch some football? Are you going to go out and party it up and have a designated driver along with you? Be safe, because if you was listening to the news before the show come on, sounds like the OHP and local law enforcement around here are going to make sure everybody has safe travels and a safe time celebrating New Year's. So text me in what your New Year's resolutions are. I've come up with one. And out of the kindness of my heart, I'm going to let everybody in the month of January or until it rains go fishing in all my ponds. I got 13 ponds. If anybody wants to go fishing in them, they can. There's no water in them, but you're more than welcome to go fishing in them. So that's my New Year's resolution. You guys got that? So anyway, probably going to catch a snake going across there, or maybe some cow turd laying down there because the cows are hanging out down there. Matter of fact, a couple of dry ponds, I'm feeding hay in the bottom of them so they won't make a mess up in the pasture land. But anyway, so you're more than welcome to go fishing at my ponds. Just text me and I'll give you directions to my dry ponds. Anyway, here we go. One gentleman says, in my bed, sound asleep. LOL. All right. And then this other one, I was thinking about drinking enough to get enough courage to finally try that grill peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Get after it. It's good. I'm telling you, you don't need no alcohol courage to do that. They're good. Ask everybody in Georgia. It's like routine. It's like fried bologna in Oklahoma. Just try it out. Anyway, so we got my in-laws were up for the last two or three days, and they were going home today, and wanted to give out a big shout-out to them. They brought me some Christmas gifts. I got a new pair of boots. I got some essential oils, toothpaste, cough drops, Young Living, that is. Anyway, they did good. And I got a Christmas card. Anyway, it was fun having them here. We got to watch the OU-Oregon football game in San Antonio last night with the Alamo. And we got lots of good games coming up. We got the playoffs coming up. OSU's coming on this weekend. So lots of good football, college football left. A lot of games. Anyway, OU did really good last night with Bob Stoops at the helm. And you could show that the team was fired up, and because OU and amongst a lot of other teams have gone through a bunch lately because of the coach changes, people transferring, and this and that. And man, look at all those football games that were canceled because, or the pro bowl games that have been canceled, or the teams have been replaced because of COVID. So anyway, hopefully one of these days, America can get back to normal. All right, on with the ag markets here. In Oklahoma, at 11 a.m., cash grain prices for hard red winter wheat was $7.76 a bushel. Corn was at $5.89 a bushel. Milo was at $5.92. Soybeans, $12.62. Oats were at $6.84 a bushel. Cotton is up. Cotton's the only thing that's improving today. Everything else has gone down slightly, and it's at $1.15 a pound. Man, cotton just hanging in up there at that $1.10 to $1.20 in November. So cotton doing good, and I'm happy for our cotton farmers. Soybean and corn futures were lower in overnight trading on technical selling and some optimism about rain in South America. Man, one day it's optimism, next day it's pessimism. They just can't get her straight down there. Us, we're consistently dry here, no problem. Investors likely are squaring their positions ahead of the end of the year, with some who were long the market, or vice versa, how I'd say it, bet on higher prices, selling contracts, and liquidating positions before December 31st. On the weather front, some limited relief is expected through Friday in parts of central and southeastern Brazil, the Commodity Weather Group said in its report. Parts of Paraguay and central Brazil may see some drought relief next Tuesday through Thursday. Active rain pattern in the northern Brazil adds growth, but some excess rain and flooding concerns persist in the northeastern 10 to 15% of the soybean growing areas. Still, it's not all rosy, as drought stress now hit 35% in Brazil, who is the largest exporter of soybeans. Wheat futures were lower overnight on signs of slack demand for U.S. supplies. Exports of the grain since the start of its marketing year on June 1st now stand at 10.6 million metric tons, which is down 22% from the same time frame last year, according to the USDA. Overseas buyers have committed to buy 15.8 million metric tons. That's also down 22% year over year. Soybean futures for November delivery dropped 8.5 cents to $13.59 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal fell $1.90 to $407.20 a short ton, while soy oil declined 0.18 cents to $56.49 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery fell 2.5 cents to $6.25 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery lost 3.5 cents to $7.80 a bushel. And that's on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 4.25 to $8.17 a bushel. Well, there you have it. Let's see what's happening up in the Northern Plains, all the way down into western Oklahoma. Wind chill warnings and advisories are in effect for all of North Dakota and parts of Montana, South Dakota, and Minnesota this morning. Life-threatening cold. If you watched the news or heard about it this morning, it's pretty chilly up there. Life-threatening cold is expected as wind chills are forecast to drop as low as minus 50. Frostbite on exposed skin can occur and will occur if it's exposed for 5 minutes. It says here it's as little as 10 minutes, but it's at minus 50, I promise you, you're going to get zapped pretty hard and pretty fast. Don't be outside too long. When outside, make sure you wear appropriate clothing. Duh. Farther south in the southern plains, meanwhile, red flag warnings have been issued amidst extremely dry weather in the weather in the region. Winds will be sustained from 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Relative humidity is forecast to drop as low as 19%. Critical fire weather conditions are expected to develop this afternoon across the west central and southwestern Texas panhandles, along with western Oklahoma. There you have it. And it is my saying, please don't be that person. Don't be doing nothing. We're in a drought. I got the new drought map is out, and our extreme drought, the D3, which is the red in western Oklahoma and parts of the Texas Panhandle, has doubled in size since last week. So it's not good, but guess what? We're one day closer to rain, and there is some rain in the forecast. And according to Miss Lacey Swope, talked to her this morning, western Oklahoma, you're going to get some rain, but it ain't going to be much. And, you know, things can change between now and tomorrow evening, she said, and things slow down, stall, or something develops early. But as of right now, looks like traced to 1/10 of an inch of rain for our western Oklahoma. And we need at least a half inch or more to even get started. So, but that's how we order it. I had a gentleman this morning ask me what my show was about today. And I asked him in return, why do you want to know? And he said, because he wanted to know if he was going to listen to my show today or not. So my answer to him was, guess what, buddy? Just listen to the show and you'll find out. So if he's not listening, I'm talking about him. So anyway, a lot of nerve he had. But anyway, nah, it's all good. Anyway, that's what my show's about there, RH. Just talking here. We're talking ag. Starting this coming Monday morning at 7 a.m., every morning at 7 a.m. before the early morning show with Nathan and Landry Brewer, I'm going to be starting to do a two-minute ag update, early morning update. So be sure to tune in and listen to my two-minute updates. Some of them will be good, some of them will be bad, some of them will be funny. But they'll always be there at 7 a.m. So anyway, hope you guys enjoy those updates. We're going to be starting next Monday right here on KECO. Well, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. I need some more of you guys to text in. Tell me about what you're going to do tomorrow night for New Year's, or what your New Year's resolutions are. What are you going to do? What are you going to do different next year than you did this year or last year or any other time? Currently, it is 63 degrees. The winds are out of the west, southwest at 23 miles an hour, gusting up to 30. So it's pretty breezy out there. I want to re-announce this again. This gentleman has a litter of livestock guardian pups that are almost eight weeks old. And I know this guy, I know his dogs, and he's got some good ones. If you're looking for some guardian pups, these things are probably already trained. He's already got them out there sleeping with the sheep, knowing him at 8 weeks old. He's either tough or they're going to the house. Anyway, if you're interested in having a guardian pup, call him at 580-821-6567. 821-6567 for more information. Last night for supper before the big game, Sandy and her mom and Lauren, they had a meal planned for us. We had hamburger. There was roast. There was sausage. Okra that we grew in our garden, cucumbers, carrots, we had it going on. But the day before, I stopped by to get some cheese at Route 66 Processing there in south side of Sayre, there south of the interstate. And Brian hooked me up with some sauces that he'd made that they sell there at the store, jalapeno cheese and sausage. And I whooped her up on the grill last night. And even the little kids loved it. That was some of the best jalapeno cheese sausage I've ever had in my life. I ate three chunks of it. So if you guys need something to cook up tomorrow night, stop by there. That front room has got all kinds of good types of meat, cheese, the whole work. But that sausage that he had, oh my God. Thanks again, Brian, for letting me have some of that. I appreciate it. So, anyway, guess what starts Saturday, January 1st, and it runs for 17 days. You guys get a chance, and if you're not involved in it, you have something, you want a reason to go to the city, it's huge. The Cattlemen's Congress is starting January 1st. They start all the there's 20 breeds, associations, 10,000 plus cattle, 2,700 exhibitors, and there's 20 cattle sales. And if you want to see what's going on, you can get on their Facebook page, the Cattle Congress, or you can get on their website. And they have a great website, and you can get on there and see what's going on. And they're not paying me to say this stuff because I'm going up there the 8th, and I'll probably be going up there again the following week on the 16th, somewhere in there. But it's great for Oklahoma people, and we need to back them. You know, we lost the national finals to El Reno. Now this show has come from Denver to Oklahoma City, and it's great. It's already bringing money into the, I know for sure, the Elk City community. I don't know about the rest of them, but the motels, there's ranchers and farmers around here, cattle people that have that I have as friends that have people have their cattle there for 2 or 3 days already in their pens, and they're staying in motels in Elk City. They're eating here also. It's good for everybody, and some of the best cattle in the world, the best cattle in the world, are going to be at that show. So you guys need to attend it. So and also there's some guys around here, you can text me if you want to, and I'll get you hooked up with them. The Cattle Congress is also raffling off two shotguns, a Browning 12-gauge A5 semi-automatic Black Shadow, and a 20-gauge Benelli 20-gauge Montefeltro semi-automatic that are Quail Forever chapter out here is helping them with raise money for prizes and keeping that show here. Last year brought 40 or 50 million. Tyler was on here early last week. $40 or $50 million in revenue to Oklahoma City alone. They don't have a clue probably what it did to the state of Oklahoma, but it's already showing up in Elk City. People have been around here for 3 or 4 days that are going to have just cattle on display. This is the same people putting this on as the OYE. So if you want to buy some raffle tickets, they got a good deal going, $10 a piece. Or if you buy 10, you get 12. So buy 12, you get 2 free. How's that? $100, you get 12 tickets. So pretty good deals. Text me here on the text line, or if you know me, text my phone number, and I'll get you some tickets. It's a great deal. I mean, it's like having it is probably one of the largest stock shows in the world. Besides, OIE is 4-H and FFA. This is actually cattlemen and cattlewomen from all over the United States and Canada that are going to be there. So anyway, enough about that. So anyway, where are we at? Fertilizer prices. I know you guys like me talking about fertilizer prices, but this is a comment from a former congressman. But fertilizer prices has soared as top fertilizer companies in North America posted big stock gains this year, with some on pace for their best performance since 2009. One former congressman who served as the House Agriculture Committee chair says the fix for climbing prices probably won't come from Washington. Reports show that the CF Industries is seeing the biggest gain this year, as the major nitrogen producer has seen its stocks soar 67%. Mozak stock increased 58%, while Nutrient stock climbed 49% so far. Meanwhile, Ag Day reported fertilizer prices for farmers continue to climb, and hydrous ammonia prices are averaging anywhere from $1,372 up to $1,500 a ton, which is at an all-time high. So what can be done about these higher prices? Well, former Democratic Congressman Colin Peterson of Minnesota, here's what he said. He said, "We've looked into that, and I'm not sure there's much that can be done. It's the kind of supply and demand situation," says Peterson. "You know, it's kind of like Congress trying to legislate cattle prices or hog prices, or legislate market order by milk marketing orders. It's not going to work when it comes to all those antitrust efforts. It sounds good, and you can get a press release out of it, but when has it ever made a difference?" And it's true. And recently, National Corn Growers Association, along with state organizations, sent a letter to executives of the MOSAC expressing concern over fertilizer prices. They wrote, "We write to express our concern with your company's trade practices," the letter stated. "As the second largest phosphate fertilizer producer in the world, MOSAC has almost single-handedly erected an insurmountable tariff barrier to keep its top competitors in Morocco and Russia out of the U.S. phosphate market." MOSAC hasn't responded yet. So it's crazy. I think I had a guest in here a month or so ago, and farmers and ranchers feed the world. We do. We raise beef. We raise peanuts. We raise cotton. We raise wheat, rye, Truticow, corn, the whole nine yards. I'm just naming some of the stuff off we raise here in our listening area. And barley. Someone let me forget barley, and I know I'm forgetting something. But, North Eric and over there around Hex, lots of potatoes raised over there. But we do all this stuff. And this gentleman that was on my show there a month or so ago said that farmers make the less and ranchers make the less profit of anybody in the ag industry. And this is proof of it. These fertilizer companies are making a killing. Yes, our wheat prices and our cotton prices and our corn prices and our milo and all this stuff, those prices have all gone up. But if you put a pencil to it, between inflation, shortages, shipping problems, This guy making more money. The processors, you know, they're saying the processors of beef are making three times more than what the cattleman that actually does all the work, which is true. But we suck. The way our system works is it's crappy because there's a lot of farmers and ranchers out here that are just barely getting by, squeezing by. And now they got to worry about if they can even get any seed or chemicals. A tote of Roundup, for example, is triple what it was. And it just, it's crazy that the guys out here doing all the work are the guys making the least, if not any, money. And all these ag industries above them, where who's selling these markets, the grains or the beefs or whatever, they're making a killing. And it's a damn shame that the system works like this, because there's some people can't even make their land payments. They might have 100 head of cattle and they look good, and they take them to the sale barn or they take them to the feedlot, and they get $1,000 a piece, but they got $1,150 a piece in them. What the hell? So anyway, you guys remember that when you're out there, if you're non-ag related listening here, buy local, get your beef processed local, and help out a local farmer. Buy your deer corn from a local farmer if he'll sell it to you. You'll save some money that way. But anyway, just make American great again. Damn it, let's go. I mean, it's sucking out there for those guys right now, and I don't know if there's anything we can do about it, and the government is not the way to fix this. It's not. It just ain't going to happen. So anyway, enough of that. I better get off that before I say a really bad word. So anyway, it's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 13th. 1,503 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 400 brought 205. 6 at 673 brought 157.50. 17 at 761 brought 163.50. 34 at 858 brought 163. 8 at 997 brought 143. 3 head of heifers at 327 brought 160. 15 at 542 brought 146. 5 at 647 brought 146. 4 at 714 brought 121. 17 at 953 brought 131.50. Butcher cows were 46 to 82. Bred cows 650 to 13. 75. Butcher bulls brought 56 to 91.50. Pairs brought 800 to 14.25. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I am wound up today, and I apologize. So I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound frustrated on the deal, but it's like I had a gentleman text in here. 5.5 pound glyphos in a tote is $16,500. That's for 265 gallons of chemical. And whether you like people using chemicals or not, they have to. And but $16,500. Think about that. For 265 gallons, you just do the math. Anyway, we got temperature surely didn't drop. I guess it did. 61 degrees, 23% humidity. Winds are out of the west southwest, 24 miles an hour at 33 miles an hour gust. There we go. 24 mile an hour out of the west southwest, 33 mile an hour gust. It's slowly climbing, giving them buzz. Meanwhile, back at the ranch here. Hey, I've been trying to get this read to you guys since Tuesday, but here we go. So I come across this article where they were in the Hay Forage magazine, where they were doing rate tables for any kind of farm agriculture work hauling, chiseling, discing, whatever. And I got to Oklahoma, and I wanted to read some of these numbers off in case you guys don't know what some of the rates are. Well, anyway, I'm just going to read through here. Just bear with me. This is not an auction. I'm not doing an auction here. Anyway, chisel plowing in western Oklahoma, average rate is $14 an acre. Disking with an offset, $12.86 an acre. Disking intent, this is average. They took this survey, so bear with me how they come up with these 4 cents, because when I charge somebody for hay baling or something, I round her off to the nearest dollar. So tandem disking is actually higher than offset disking, $13.04. Vertical turbo tillage, $14.50, 15 cents an acre. Spike tooth harris, $10 an acre. Field cultivating is $12 an acre. This is average in Oklahoma. All right, applying bulk dry fertilizer. Don't get mad if you pay more or less. This is a survey that they did. I'm just reading these numbers off. So don't go up to somebody at the co-op or Ken or any of those guys and say, well, Jimmy said this is what you pay. This is a survey. This is all curious stuff, all right? Applying bulk dry fertilizer, $7.82 a acre is the average price. Renting a bulk, that doesn't even make sense there. Anyway, applying liquid fertilizer, $7.66 a acre. Let's see here. Applying anhydrous pneumonia with a knife applicator, $12 an acre. And then let's keep going. Air applications, $9 to $10 an acre. Let's move on down here to planting. Air seeder, conventional tillage, small grains with fertilizer, $16.63 a acre. Air seeder conventional tillage small grains without fertilizer is only a dollar an acre cheaper at $15.70 an acre. Drill small grains conventional $15.33. You guys need to either, this guy with the small grains deal is overpriced, or you air seeder guys need to raise your price because you're the same amount. Drill small grains no till $19 an acre. Man, I've been way too cheap with my no-till. Anyway, broadcasting seed, $10.25 an acre. Spriggan Bermuda grass, $40 an acre. That must be, that doesn't include grass, I'm going to guess. Planting conventional cotton, conventional, $12.20. And now we get down to the part I like, the haying part. Just mowing hay is $14.68, basically $15 an acre. Raking hay is $5.50 to $6 an acre. Swathing is, on the average, is $16. Small square bales, the little bitty ones, not the ones at Atwoods, but the normal 75 pound, $1.20 a bale, up to $1.50 in some parts of Oklahoma. And then we got baling large square bales, 3 footers are 13, 4 footers are $22 a bale. Round bales, 4 footers, $16. It's all average. It's all different areas. And then they don't even have the 5 footer in there. What the heck? 5 footers around here, $17 on the average, I think. Let's all slide on down here to combining, small grain harvest. Combining wheat and small grains, flat rate of $23 an acre. Base rates for combining small grains, $24 an acre. Extra charge per bushels at 23 cents a bushel. And for excess over double X bushel, anyway, I'll go there. Flat rate for hauling small grains is 22 cents a bushel. And then we get down to our livestock operations for you guys that hire out your AI and all that stuff. AI is $12.65 a head, $13 out here in western Oklahoma or more. Brandon cattle. Let's go, Brandon. Yeah, cattle, that's what I meant. $2.11 a head. Castrating, $4.25. Shoot feed, $2.96. Preg test is 473 on the average, 486 in western Oklahoma. Processing cattle is 649. I don't know what they mean by that. Worming cattle is 468, about $5 a head. And we got some hauling rates. We'll get through there. And we got some miscellaneous. Here's where I get. There must be some really cheap people around the eastern Oklahoma. Dozen, D7 or larger, $140 an hour. D6 or smaller, $115 an hour. Clearing cedar trees is $112 an hour. And building new fence with material, 4 to 6 wire steel post, $5,644 a mile. And it doesn't say if it's with or without labor. I'm guessing it is with labor because of the survey, but I did a number to it a while ago, and just the cost, not including your corners, H's, or gates or anything, there's $3,820 at today's rate worth of material in 1 mile of road. So I know this survey was taken earlier in the year, but it's gone up. And then building new fence without materials, 4 to 6 wire, steel post, $3,603. So somebody's losing money somewhere because I had about that much in material. So anyway, there's some cool numbers I thought you guys would like to hear. Domestic beef demand is the strongest it has been in 3 decades. Here's where I get off on my rocking chair here, because this is a good report about beef. And yes, our cattle market has been slowly going up, and it's pretty decent right now. But you guys put the number together, and you don't know what the grocery store is paying from the processors, because you really can't put a true number. All you can do is just guess some percentages. But demand's up. People are buying beef at the stores, but the guys out here in the field aren't seeing the prices at the sale barns. Now, guys that have changed their ways of doing their cattle by following them all the way through the feedlot, changed their genetics, raising good beef, they're making a little bit more money than the guy at the sale barn. But you got to have it. It takes a while to get your genetics in line to go to produce those deals. But we're still making a little bit of money at the sale barn, going to the sale barn, because not everybody is going through following their cattle all through the feedlot, but it's still crazy after the feedlot, all right? Yes, some of these guys out here with their cattle are making money. Some of them aren't, and you got to change your ways to catch up with the times, but these guys are the demand for beef is unreal. Kevin Good, for Cattle Facts analyst and vice president of industry relations, said this is a result of listening to the consumer. Yes, it is. We have some of the best beef in the world. The difference between the beef now and the beef 30 years ago is unreal. Think about grade. Think about consistency. They are driving points. Today, we have a much better product than we had in the past, and our customers are rewarding us with more dollars. For perspective, 72.7% of all beef cattle graded choice in 2020. And 10.2% graded prime, according to the USDA's estimated national grading summary. Just 10 years ago, 60.1% were choice and 3.4% were prime. Through October of this year, 72.6% were choice and 10.1% were prime. Whether regarded as the chicken or the egg, Good pointed out, carcass quality increased as the industry applied premiums and discounts in order to get what consumers wanted. About 70% of the fed cattle we sell in the U.S. today are sold on a grid or a formula, so cattle are rewarded once that hide is taken off. Plainer, poorer cattle that used to be par are now at a discount. The premium has gone away for middle-of-the-road cattle. You still have to have very distinct premiums for the top end. Certified Hereford beef is an example of quality-based program offering a value-based grid to producers and dependable, satisfying eating experience to the consumer. Good expects a quality grade trend to continue. There will be a time when we produce 20 to 30% prime in the national herd, and it's not that far away. As we think about our consumer is demanding, what the consumer is demanding, let's remember that last year with COVID, we couldn't sell prime through restaurants. It went through retail. Every major retail in the United States now has premium product offering. Consumers want it, so we're going to have to provide it. And we are providing. I say this all the time. We have people like Monty Tucker, Jimmy Taylor, Phil Delp. I can just rattle off a bunch of those guys that have some of the best beef in Oklahoma. And all you got to do is call them, get it set up with a processor of your choice. We have numerous processors around here now and good ones. Schneeburgers, Ray Schoen's, Studio 54, Route 66. Have the one in the Butcher Block in Canute also. And then we got one in Shamrock. We got one in Altus. That's Quartz Mountain, I think. And they're everywhere. I can't name them all off, and I hate it if I missed them all off because I don't have that list in front of me. But buy them here. You don't have to go to the store if you don't want to. Anyway, he also shared price expectations for 2022 as cow numbers and fed cattle supplies decline and more leverage returns to producers. Cattle Fat projects calves to average a $205 CWT compared to $170 this year, yearlings to an average of $168 compared to $140 this year. Fed steers average $140 compared to $121 this year. There you go. All this information from the American Hereford Association, and they'll be up at the Cattle Congress coming up starting January 1st. That's this Saturday. The Cattle Congress is getting underway. And they got a seminar on, next Tuesday? They'll have a seminar on the beef quality assurance. There you go. All kinds of stuff to be doing when the weather is cold and not good to be doing anything else. Well, when I get back, I'll give you the Long Ranger forecast provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I know as sad as this sounds, I won't have a show tomorrow. It's our holiday. We had one last Friday, but tomorrow they're giving us the last Friday of the year off early. Nathan will be having his show in the morning because he's got the big anniversary in the morning, but Jimmy won't be on here with Ag Report. So anyway, I apologize in advance right now. I know you guys are disappointed and you're going to miss me, but hey, it's the way it goes. Boss says day off. I got a quarter mile fence that I need to build tomorrow, so I'm setting corners, ace braces, whole nine yards, get them cemented up. So next week when it warms back up, string some wires, hammer some posts, get her built. It's in sand too, so I don't, and there's no moisture in that sand, so the ground shouldn't be that hard, but it probably will be. But currently right now it's 62 degrees, humidity's 22, winds are out of the south, southwest, and the west. You can't have all those. It's out of the west, southwest, 21 miles an hour, gusting up to 27. Today, a high of 66, tonight, 42. Tomorrow, 40% chance of rain showers, high of 64 degrees with winds out of the southwest at 10 to 20. Tomorrow night, 50% chance of rain, low 23 with winds out of the south to southwest at 13 to 16 miles an hour. New Year's Day, the world changes. 29 for a high with north winds 20 to 23, gusting up to 30 plus miles an hour. It's going to be cold. Saturday night, 7 degrees for a low with winds still way up there out of the north. We might finally get to fire up the fireplace. We haven't had the fireplace going this year, but it looks like I need to get some firewood up to the porch because it looks like a good night for that. Sunday, high 42 with north winds switching out of the south southwest later on in the afternoon. Sunday night, 20 degrees, no wind. Monday, start creeping back up, 52 degrees. So that's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Don't look too bad, just a couple days of really cold weather, but spring planted oats can provide many possibilities for producers. An oat crop can provide a quick small grains pasture with good forage quality that can bridge the gap until summer pasture is available. Provide cover for a summer crop, or it can provide high quality hay. Typically, planting dates for Oklahoma are mid-February through mid-March. Sowing oats will be similar to other small grains like wheat, but oats are much lighter and about 32 pounds per bushel. Seeding rates can range from 80 to 120 pounds per acre. Conventionally tilled fields often will have better stand establishment and early seed vigor, but direct seeding into no-till still can be adequate when previous crop residues are minimum. Higher seeding rates often are beneficial to achieving forage production goals. Producers should note seed quality and adjust seeding rates accordingly. Ideally, germination rates should be higher than 85%. Spring planted oaks usually will not tiller much, so adequate seeding rates can be critical to production from single-stemmed plants. Spring planted winter oats typically will yield less forage than fall-sown winter wheat. Grazing forage production potentials from spring planted oats will average 1,500 to 2,000 pounds of forage per acre. Actual rates of nitrogen will be about 40 to 60 pounds to produce this amount of forage. Since oat seedlings are not as stress tolerant as wheat, it is recommended to wait until the crop is 6 to 8 inches tall before initiating grazing. About 35 to 60 days of grazing should be expected. When laying down for hay, peak forage quality is reached once the crop reaches the boot growth stage. Harvesting between late boot and head emergency will optimize both tonnage and quality. Delaying the harvest past the head emergence might lead to more tonnage at the expense of quality, but windrows will dry out sooner. It's a true fact right there. Because not only when you get oat seed heads in your hay, there's lots of varmints that like them seeds. So, but quality hay, whether it's wheat, rye, true to cow, any of those, barley, whatever, while it's in the boot stage right before it starts heading is the best quality hay. And it takes longer for it to cure out, but it is the best quality hay that you can make out of any of those small grains. Field research from K-State conducted near Hutchinson, Kansas, showed an average hay forage yield of 4 tons per acre amongst the 20 varieties studied. These hay fields were obtained with 75 pounds nitrogen applied pre-plant and an additional 50 pounds applied 6 weeks after. So they top dressed it with 50 pounds, so 125 pounds. If used for cover, seeding rates can be slightly reduced if the goal is just to simply protect the soil from blowing. If the goal of the cover is to prevent soil water evaporation or even shade out the weeds, then seeding rates should be not be reduced. The seeding rates should not be reduced. If the summer crop is desired, producers need to terminate the oats once stems have come up, but before head development. The crop will start to be used once water reaches the reproductive growth stages. There are some broadleaf herbicide options for spring planted oats. This includes dicamba, 2,4-D, just going on. You can do that homework if you're getting into it. Unfortunately, there are not very many herbicide options for grass control. Producers wanting to learn more about spring planted oats should contact their local OSU extension office and the whole nine yards there. My experiences with oats have been pretty crazy. Planted oats down in the bottom where the farm ground is there by the river 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago. Man, that stuff was head high. And I made 4 or 5 bales to the acre. It was good stuff. It did get into the head stage, but that's because the ground was wet and I couldn't get the swather in there. Next 2 years, didn't make a crop. And you know what the saying is, you mud your oats in. You don't put them in dry. And they do a lot better. I think there, I don't know if it's scientifically proved, but I think there's some to it. But you know how these, just like last winter, we didn't get any rain. Planted oats. Didn't even think I was going to make any. Made about a little over a bale to the acre because that one rain was too late to save it in the spring. I haven't had the best luck with oats, but my ground's very, very different. That bottom down there where we plant oats has probably 5 different varieties of soil in it because when the river, like a couple of years ago when the river got out twice in 1 month with 2 8-inch rains, it brings in soil from Texas and around Hex and Eric and Sarah. I got clay, I got sand, I got crap, I got this. But you can go physically see the 5 different variations in the soil out there in this one little bitty old 30-acre field. But it's in wheat this year. Guess what? It ain't rained. So I don't know. Maybe it's just my luck. But anyway, I hope you guys have a very happy New Year's. Happy holidays to you guys. And we'll see you next year when I come back next Monday. Remember, no livestock sale at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction this Monday. Hobart will be Wednesday. Elk City will be Friday. No goat sale and sheep sale at Hobart. And then the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be a week from this coming Monday. So hook them trailers up, air them tires up, because the sales are going to start back up after 2 weeks off. We'll see you guys next week. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Country music tells a story.
It really tells the life of people.
And I go back to a 2-tone short bed Chevy.
Let's hear another story. We're kicking off more country right now.
You're in cowboy country.